Hello and God bless you. This is Dr. John Lafitte, and let me tell you, it is such a privilege to be able to bring the word of the Lord to you. I first of all want to thank Pastor Gideon and Irene Nash for the opportunity for me to bring a word of God to you. And I want to greet everybody at the South Street Baptist Church. God bless you all. And I want you to have an expectation today. We're going to be speaking about having faith for miracles. So if you need a miracle, you need a healing, you need a supernatural work from God, let me tell you, this is the day for you to receive it. So get ready. And I want you to have an expectation. We receive miracles by faith and having that expectation. Now, in these times that we're living in, as I've spoken to you before, I had the privilege another time, we are living in end times. And in these end times, we need a supernatural more than ever before. In fact, in the spiritual realm, there are demonic forces. There are things happening that haven't happened before in history, such as a worldwide pandemic, such as we are seeing right now. You know, there are things that are coming upon the earth that are supernatural, that are going to shake the earth, that are going to shake mankind. And we need the power of God in order to be able to stand firm in these trying times. Now, first of all, I want to put a little bit of a background and then explain to you so that you yourself can be activated into miracles and you can receive directly from God. First, as you read the scriptures, you see that God is a supernatural God. He is a God that does miracles, signs, and wonders. But there's something very important. Something changed between the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you saw supernatural signs, healings, or miracles happen through the hand of prophets. And really, there weren't that many. If you look at the 1,000 plus years over which the Old Testament was written, there weren't that many. But all of this changed the moment that Jesus Christ came upon the earth. You can look at all the miracles that happened in the Old Testament, and you will see that beginning with the coming of Jesus, more miracles were released through his ministry and so on up to this very day than you have seen in the Old Testament. And I want to begin with John, the book of John, chapter 1, verses 32 through 33. It says, John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And in verse 33, it says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. So here we see something very important. You see in the life and the ministry of Jesus that you don't see anything supernatural happening in his life until he begins his ministry. And what marks the beginning of his ministry? It happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon him as he is baptized by John the Baptist. So this is something very special. And in particular, in the book of John, it doesn't say that it just came. It says that it remained in him. It rested upon him. Doesn't mean that it just stood there or that the Spirit of God just was there for a moment. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon prophets, but it would go back. It would never remain on any person. It would come upon them. They would prophesy, it would leave. The Spirit of God would come upon Samson. He would do mighty works, it would leave. But when it came to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and remained. After that, Jesus began his ministry with miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, the reason is, why was the Holy Spirit able to remain upon Jesus Christ? And never before had he been able to do that. Well, the reason is because Jesus was the only person on earth who was sinless. So because he was sinless, the Holy Spirit could not just come, it could actually remain in him. But before that, before Jesus came, every other human being had sin. So if the Spirit of God came upon them, he had to leave. He could not remain. But Jesus was qualified to have the Spirit of God. And so Jesus began performing miracles from that moment on, meaning that he performed these miracles by the Spirit of God. But here's the great thing. Now, after he did this, it didn't just end with him. It wasn't just Jesus who performed miracles, but rather it said that he, when he died on the cross, forgave our sins. So wait a second. There is now a different kind of person on the earth, which is called the Christian believer. This is a being on earth that actually has the Spirit of God within them. So in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples after he died and he resurrected, he gave them instructions. And he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, beginning in Judea and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, up to the ends of the earth. So we see that once Jesus left, he didn't just go and leave us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, because he was sending the Holy Spirit. So we see the apostles now get a command. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. This is exactly the same Spirit that came upon Jesus. Now, because of the death of Jesus, the apostles were qualified to receive the Spirit of God within them and for that Spirit of God to remain. So if you read the book of Acts, you see all kinds of miracles that were done by the hand of the apostles. But wait, that's not all. There's actually better news than that. The Holy Spirit didn't just come for the apostles, because Jesus Christ has needed witnesses, not just during his time. He's needed it in every century, and he needs it today. We are the generation that are to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And so Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, he gives a command, and he said, these signs shall follow those that believe. It says, in my name, they will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So my question to you today is, to whom did he say this? Only to the people of his time? Or does he mean that to be a part of his church? Well, let me tell you, he meant it to be a part of his church up to this very day, because Jesus still needs witnesses that can witness to the power of God, to the power of the resurrection. The resurrection isn't just a historical event that happened long time ago. It is something that has an effect to this very day. Jesus Christ sat upon the throne of God in heaven, and he still is ruling and reigning. The Bible says that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When he came, he destroyed the works of the devil. But now he had left that ministry on earth. He left it to the apostles. He left it to the believers. And now he's left it up to us, who are the generation that are alive in this time, to continue destroying the works of the devil. But you cannot destroy the works of the devil by natural means, because those are supernatural works. So you need to do it by the supernatural power of God through his Holy Spirit. Now, very interesting. Who will these signs follow? Notice that it doesn't say these signs shall follow apostles. It doesn't say these signs shall follow mighty men of God. It says these signs shall follow those that believe. Now, the important thing is that if you are a believer, in other words, if you have received Christ, you already qualify to move and to see miracles in your life, because those miracles are done by him through you, but it is his power that operates. You are called to live a life of miracles, signs, and wonders. Now you say, but how can I enter into that life? Well, by faith, by operating in faith. And I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to explain it a little bit more. How do you know, in fact, that you are operating in faith? You are going to see results. So my question is your faith working? If nothing is happening that's supernatural in your life, you are not using your faith. And let me tell you, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God wants to work on your behalf. God wants to do miracles. In fact, his word says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. God is looking everywhere throughout throughout the world. And I wonder, is he finding such a heart in you? Someone who wants to have a perfect heart. Doesn't mean that there's nothing wrong with it. It means that you have a whole heart towards God for the things of God. You're not divided between the things of this earth, between the things of the world and the things of God. You have a heart that is for him. And he says, I'm looking for such a person. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to show off. He wants to show his strength. He wants to show his power. He wants to show that he is there with you. And so he says he's looking for that kind of person to show himself strong on your behalf. Now let's go to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12. I ask you this question. What should be the minimum standard of the supernatural among believers today? Well, look at what Jesus said. He said, verily, verily, I say to you. In other words, this is for sure. He didn't just say, I'm saying this. He said, truly, truly, or amen, amen, I say to you, he that believes in me. Now, my question is, do you believe in him? It says, those that believe in him, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Let me tell you, he is saying that the minimum standard that you can look to is to see the things that happened in the ministry of Jesus. So what happened in the ministry of Jesus? The blind saw, the deaf heard, demons were cast out, the lame walked, people were healed, supernatural power was there. So you can expect, in fact, this is a standard that is put, that you can expect to do even greater works, because Jesus says, now I am going to the Father, and in my name, you can pray in my name, and the Father will answer, and we will do it, and you're going to see the power of God. So let me tell you, it's an exciting time. So one of the questions that I always had and struggled with is, if God wants to do miracles, how come I don't see miracles? Well, that was my question in the past. But let me tell you that for 25 years, I have seen the hand of God in miracles, signs, and wonders more than I can count. But let me give you a few reasons. I'll tell you why in the church in general, worldwide, we don't see miracles. One is because there is a lack of knowledge about the supernatural power of God operating today. Many people know about a gospel that is a gospel of history, a historical gospel. Many churches preach about Jesus having died and raised from the dead, but it stays there. It never shows his work operating today. It never speaks about the power of God for you to be delivered, for you to be set free, for demons to be cast out, for hurts in your heart to be healed. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God is here today to heal your heart. The Spirit of God is even here today to heal your body. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So as a church, I remember as I was growing up, I didn't see any miracles in church. What I saw were other things, religion, tradition, many other things, but I never saw a single miracle. So there was a lack of knowledge. Also, there is a lack of knowledge on the finished work of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We don't understand, we don't teach what it is that Jesus did on the cross and what it unleashed on our behalf. But I have good news. I'm going to tell you what it happened, and I'm going to tell you what it unleashed so that you can now appropriate and now be without lack of knowledge, not knowing what God has for you. Let me tell you, everything you don't know that God has for you, you cannot possess. But the moment you know that God has something for you, you can take a step of faith and you can possess it and have it because it's your Father who wants to give it to you. So we see that people have no knowledge that God wants to use you to do miracles, and they don't have knowledge that there are miracles today. In fact, in most churches, if you see a miracle, it's actually two miracles. The first miracle is the fact that there was a miracle. And the second miracle is the actual miracle. Well, there is really no expectation in the church or when people go to church to see a supernatural God. So when we have a lack of knowledge in general about the miraculous in God, we have a lack of knowledge of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we don't see miracles. Also, we see that there's a lack of examples. Most pastors and ministers, they grew up loving God, knowing a calling of God was miracles on their lives, but they really never saw miracles. They never had an example. Who can I follow? You can read about Jesus on scripture, but it's a different thing when you see another human being, breathing human being that has their errors, that aren't perfect, and God's still using them. You can say, you know what? If God can use that person, he can also use me. Well, God does want to use you. Unfortunately, there have been very few examples in the body of Christ. And this is why I'm so happy that we have a university of the supernatural that is training, teaching, equipping people on how to move in the supernatural power of God so that they have an example that they can see and then they walk according to that example. Another reason we haven't seen miracles in general in the church is because of poor theology. Unfortunately, many seminaries don't teach actually by the Spirit. Many seminaries, what they teach is they put doubt. And what they do is they take a subject such as the Word of God, and they don't teach it from revelation. They teach it from the knowledge of man. So as a result, it never produces any movement in the Spirit, any activity in the Spirit. It never produces any miracles. And in fact, what happens is that people leave seminary filled with doubt instead of filled with faith, filled with testimony, filled with the power of God. There are even theologies that have said that the last miracles stopped once the apostles died. Let me tell you, that is nowhere in the Bible. God has one plan from the time Jesus died, is go and preach this gospel to all the nations. That is what he wants from us. That is what he is seeking. We are to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations, to all places. So because of wrong theology, we see that seminaries teach people not the real gospel, not the truth of the gospel, but they teach them whatever they learn in the natural. And so as a result, we see there's no supernatural. People deny the supernatural. People deny the miracles. And so you don't see it operating in the lives of the people. Another reason you don't see miracles is because there is a lack of faith. There's a lack of faith in the Christian community. So we see that people are not operating in faith. And I'm going to help you on how to operate in faith. What is faith? How can we operate in faith? First of all, faith is to have a belief, a firm conviction in what God says. So there are many promises in the Word of God, and every promise that is there belongs to you as a believer, belongs to me as a believer. Unfortunately, faith has been substituted by other things. For example, some people put optimism, and they believe that optimism is the same as faith. It is not. Optimism in the world is to have, for some reason or other, trying to have a positive outlook on life or on things. Well, it's good to have a positive outlook, but what is that positive outlook based on? It's not really based on anything. But if true faith is based on the Word of God, on the power of God, and you can trust the Word of God, you can trust what God says, so you can exercise faith, not optimism. Optimism is, I hope something will happen. And in fact, that actually takes us to the next substitute, which is called hope. Hope, in the way that we use the word hope, means that I am wishing for something to happen. And when you ask people, do you have faith? They say yes, but really they have a hope. They don't know that something is going to happen. There isn't the firm conviction. There isn't the aspect of certainty that is involved in faith. So hope, in fact, let me just explain to you. In the Bible, the word hope is the word expectation. When it says that in the hope of his appearing, it doesn't mean that we're wishing that one day Jesus would appear. It means that we are expecting that any moment Jesus Christ can come back. That is the hope. It is expectation. That is why from the moment that I took this mic, I want you to have an expectation that God wants to do a miracle in your life, that God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. And finally, a third substitute is knowledge. The fact that you know something doesn't mean you have faith. So some people say, I can ask them, how many have faith that you're alive? Well, some people might raise their hand. Well, that's not really faith. That's knowledge. You are alive. Faith is you're believing for something you're not seeing yet. Faith is your spiritual sense, In the natural, you have five natural senses. But faith goes beyond the five senses. It's beyond what you see. It's beyond what you hear, taste, what you can touch, what you can taste, what you can smell. It's beyond all of these things. And it is the way that you can access things in the spirit realm. What things do people put their faith on? So we see their substitute. But sometimes people put their faith in the wrong thing. Some people put their faith in other people. Now, look at Jeremiah 17, 5. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the perched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. But, verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So many people are trusting in man. Are you trusting in this pandemic? Are you trusting in the power of a man and the power of a scientist and the power of a doctor and the power of a government? Let me tell you, in this time, they are all confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. You need to trust in the power of God, because when that virus comes near, it is the power of God what will keep you. It is the power of God what will heal you. Another thing that people put their trust in are riches. When people make money or have riches, they think that they can trust in them. Let me tell you, there can be people with all the money in the world have a cancer and die. What good was all of that money? What good was all of that they trusted in? In 1 Timothy 6:17, it tells us, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let me tell you, earthly riches can be here today, gone tomorrow. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he that began a good work in you is going to continue it until the very end. So you can't trust in worldly riches. So other people trust in what is called worldly wisdom. What does the Bible say about that? In 1 Corinthians 3:19 through 20, it says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for as it is written, he takes the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man. So we see that to God, the highest thoughts of man are foolishness. What are the thoughts of man? Even the things that men revere or think very highly of, such as science, such as education, philosophy, these are knowledge of men. Men trying to discover, understand. And I'm not saying that they are bad. They're actually good things, but it is fallen knowledge. What do I mean by that? It is knowledge that man obtains not through revelation from God, but through discovery. It is a slow process. It is a process full of mistakes. And so science has been evolving because theories continue to change. In education, you might have a great education, but that's not going to help you when you have problems in your marriage, when you have the devil bringing oppression or depression upon you. There's philosophy. People can philosophize all they need, but they can still have a broken heart that the Spirit of God can heal them. There's theology, where there is an attempt to understand God without revelation from the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, if you didn't need the Spirit of God, Jesus wouldn't have sent them. But he sent them because we need him to understand God and to get close to God. People trust in opinions of other men. Let me tell you, this world is full of opinion. But the only opinion that matters is what God says in his word. And the fact that many people share an opinion doesn't make it right either. In fact, we live in a generation that everybody is so proud of their opinion. And I can tell people, you know, I agree, you have a right to your opinion, but not every opinion is right. The only one that is right is God's. In fact, I don't even value my own opinion, but rather I want what God says, and I align myself to what God says because I know that is what is true and what is right. Finally, there is false doctrine, and there's also much more, but false doctrine is knowledge of man is perverted from what God says. So we shouldn't trust in that. We shouldn't trust in man. We shouldn't trust in traditions of men either. There's a lot of tradition and people are stuck in it. And in Mark 7:13, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition. Tradition keeps people poor because it tells them, you know, if you are a godly person, you will be poor. And so people stay poor because everything you think of that you think is God, you will not resist. But that's not God. Does God want you to be in poverty? Does God want your children to go hungry? Does God want your children to die of starvation? Of course not. Would you want that? Of course you don't. Also, tradition keeps people sick because they say, if you're sick, it means you're godly. Well, if you believe that, you will never look for healing. You'll never look for God's supernatural healing. Yet, people go to the doctor. So are you trying to do something against the will of God? No, the reason you want to go to the doctor is because God even designed your body to heal itself because God wants you to be healed. The tradition of men blocks, invalidates the word of God, so the power of God cannot come to you. And tradition results in dead works, doing things by your own strength, and it doesn't advance the kingdom of God. Also, people put their trust in religion. Religion is man's way to try to get to God, but that's not the way because Jesus came to bring a relationship with our Heavenly Father. In fact, every other religion seeks to get to God by justifying ourselves. But Isaiah 64:6 makes it very clear. We are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Before God, whatever good work anybody can do in the aggregate is nothing but a filthy rag. This is why we trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, on his shed blood that covers us. And we receive a free gift of God. We are forgiven. We can now come to God and we become children of God, not by our own merits, not by the things that what we've done, but the thing that his son, Jesus Christ, has done. So knowing we should not put our faith in these things, what should we put our faith on? There's three things you can put your faith on, and you can take this to the bank of heaven. One is called Jesus Christ himself, the author and finisher of our faith. The second is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the third thing you can put your faith on is on the power of God. In Hebrews 12:2, it says that Jesus, looking to Jesus, so he says, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we as believers shouldn't put our eyes in other men and other things and philosophies and traditions. We need to set our eyes upon Jesus. Let me tell you, he is the author. He is the one who created something. He is the one who originated our faith. Men are going to fail you. People can fail you. Even godly men, we are not perfect. None of us are perfect on this earth. But Jesus Christ, he never failed. He completed his mission, and so you can put your eyes on him. He did his mission on earth. He completed it. And then after that, you see he never fell and he will never fall because he is the author of life. So we can look to him. He is our example. And so we can trust in him. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him, says the scripture, shall not be put to shame. Secondly, he also is the one who has a testimony that no other person had. He is the first one, the only one who has a testimony that he was raised from the dead. You say, but wait a second, in the Old Testament, there were resurrections by prophets. Sure, there were a couple, two or three. But those people died again. The only one who died and then was raised with a glorified body forever and not through the hand of any other man was Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Jesus Christ is alive. He has the testimony that he died and he rose again. No one else in history has that testimony. Now, we will be raised by him Goodwin is coming, when he comes for his church, but he is the only one. You can go to any other religion, any other world leader, any other philosopher, and let me tell you, they are buried on this earth. They died, but Jesus Christ died but was raised from the dead, and he is in the right hand of the Father today. So you can trust on the person of Jesus Christ because he has a testimony that he not only died, but he was raised from the dead. Secondly, you can put your faith on the finished work of the cross. Remember, faith means a certainty. It's something you don't see. You can put your faith that there was a certainty of what happened. It says in John 19:30, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when he said it is finished, he's talking about he has accomplished his mission. He did what the Father had him do. And when he died on that cross, he completed his work. And so he said it is finished. Now, the interesting thing is that if you look at this word in the Greek, it is in a perfect tense. What it means is this is an act, something that happened in history was completed, but its effects continue on through the future. So the death of Jesus was completed nearly 2,000 years ago when he died on that cross. But the effects of that death, what that death brought to this earth, continues operating, continues working even to this very day. And let me tell you, my brother and sister, that is for you. God has that for you. What did he do? There was a divine exchange. And what happened on the cross. As Derek Prince has said, there are things that happen in a divine exchange. At the cross, what happened, Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. We are forgiven of our sins, of the things that we have done, because for them, Jesus was punished. No one else had took our punishment. No one else took our sin. That's why he is the only one. He was the perfect sacrifice of God, the sinless Son of God, who can then take on our sin, and he took our punishment, so now you and I can approach him and be forgiven. He was wounded so that we might be healed. His back, there were stripes. He was beaten, and that the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. So you have a right to healing because Jesus was wounded so that you can be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness so that we could be made the righteousness of God through his righteousness. We give to him our sin. He gives to us his righteousness. We give to him our punishment. He gives to us forgiveness. We give to him our healing, our sicknesses, and he gives to us healing. He tasted death for us so that we might have eternal life with him. He was made a curse so that we might receive blessing and be free from curses. He endured poverty so that we might share in his abundance. He endured our shame so that we might share in his glory. And he endured our rejection so that we might be accepted in the beloved. So faith, we should have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We should have faith on the finished work on the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished. It is completed, and all of the things I won at the cross belong to you." The problem is, my friend, that many Christians are unaware of the things that Jesus died for on the cross. As a result, they never appropriate themselves. You know, it's something that somebody can pay for something, but if you don't know, you'll never go and receive the benefit of that payment. That is why Jesus calls us to go into the world and preach the gospel, because Jesus died for the entire world. The sins of every person ever born, past, present, and future, he took it upon himself. But not everybody receives the benefit. Those that hear, those that receive, those that accept, go to the cross and receive the benefit of the cross. And the church does that job. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't do the part that he would became a curse so that we could be free from curses. So there are people walking on this earth that are cursed. And the effects of curses are on the lives of people, including Christians. It might even be affecting your life because you didn't know that Jesus became a curse. And you can access that work on the cross and be delivered from the curse. Also, it says that Jesus was wounded so that we could be healed. If you didn't know that, you won't access the healing. And let me tell you, healing is for you today. If you're sick in your body, I'm going to pray for you shortly so you could be delivered. And God is going to deliver you so that you can deliver somebody else. So you can pray for somebody else and miracles will be unleashed in your life. And so we see that we need to have faith in the finished work, but we also need to have faith in the power of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that exists came from Him. So there is no lack in Him. Everything that is needed, He understands the laws of the universe. He set them. He put everything in existence. Is it difficult for God to create a kidney when He created the whole universe? Is it difficult for God to heal a headache when He put you and formed you in your mother's womb? Is it difficult for God to do a miracle when He did all things, when He controls the laws of nature? It isn't. He has all the power, so you can trust in the power of our God, who is Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, when I preach to you, I didn't just bring a word. I didn't just bring a nice teaching. I didn't just speak about what people spoke about in the past. I came with the Holy Spirit, a demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and a demonstration of the power of God, so that when you're saved, you're not just saved because you heard me speak about God, but because I demonstrated God to you, because you saw His power operating here. And let me tell you, one of the biggest shortcomings today, particularly with our young people, is that they never see a demonstration of the power of God. They only hear a nice word. So when they go to a college, they can easily be confused, enter into humanism, enter into secularism, and abandon the faith. But let me tell you, once you have an experience with the Almighty supernatural God, you know that He is real, He is alive, and He is above everything in the natural. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Whatever situation, whatever impossibility you are facing right now, it could even be COVID-19, it could be cancer, it could be diabetes, it could be a death sentence. Let me tell you, with man, it may be impossible. You may have come to the limit of science, to the limit of medicine, but with God, all things are possible. Now, how can these things happen? Mark 9:23, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So, my friend, I tell you that all things are possible if you now take your faith, not optimism, I hope, not a hope, oh, I wish something would happen, not knowledge, but faith, believing in the Word of God. Believe in Jesus Christ today, that He is the Son of God, that He finished His work. Believe in His work on the cross and what it releases for your life, and believe that God is a God of power. Let me tell you, God is a God of miracles. He manifests Himself from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. And we have crossed over. We've crossed over from the Old Testament, where only a few selected people could walk in miracles and the power of God. We crossed over through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and power, who then after His death and resurrection made us qualified to receive an indwelling of His Holy Spirit upon our lives. And I want to pray for you in a few minutes that you might receive that infilling of the Spirit of God, and the power of God could come upon you to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And that Spirit of God came upon the apostles, came upon the disciples, came upon believers. And Jesus said, these are the signs that will identify my believers. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will heal the sick. They will speak in new tongues. That's the manifestation of the Spirit of God. That is for you today. Maybe you haven't seen an example before, but now is the time for you to stand. You have now heard what the Word of God says. People have said miracles are over. That wasn't biblical, but you see what the Bible does say. It never says that the miracles are going to stop except by the time there is heaven on earth. At that point, there will be no need for prophecy. There will be no need for miracles because nobody will be sick. For prophecy, everybody will already hear God. For miracles, everybody will have whatever they need. There will be no tear. There will be no anguish. There will be no sadness. So let me tell you, the miracles are for now. The miracles are for today. Now, the first miracle that you need to receive, and I want to speak to everybody who is hearing me today, is the miracle of salvation, where God actually changes you and forgives your sin. That is the very first miracle that you need to experience. And you say, how can I receive this miracle? It's very easy. The Bible says that we are all sinners and we've come short of the glory of God, meaning that we are separated from God. We are cut off from God. When we die, if we remain in this state, our sin would not allow us to come to a holy God, to a perfect God, to a place of perfection. Our sin disqualifies us from entering the presence of God. And there's only two places where a person goes when they die. They go to heaven or hell. There's no such thing as a purgatory where you can purge things. Now is the time for you to make that decision. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go once you die? The Bible says that we are all sinners and we need to repent of our sins, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came from heaven, born of a virgin. He took our sin, walked the perfect life, took our sin and died for us on the cross. And when he did, he destroyed demonic principalities, demonic powers. He destroyed the rule of the devil over mankind. And then he was raised from the dead and he went up to heaven, seated in power. And the Bible says we are to repent. And it says, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is Lord, you're willing to make him your Lord. You're not Lord anymore. He is Lord of your life. If you make him Lord of all, and you believe and you confess with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, you too can be saved. You can enter into this covenant. Your sins can be forgiven, and you will go from eternal death to eternal life, to being a creature of God, to being a son or a daughter of God. My friend, this is the most important decision you can ever make in your life. I remember when I made it, it radically changed my life. I did it with all of my heart. And let me tell you, there is nothing I have left behind that can compare for a moment of having God in my life. In fact, if the Spirit of God were ever to lift from me, I would rather be dead than to be walking on this earth with the Spirit of God. So will you say this prayer with me? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and walk as a disciple, not as somebody following a tradition, not somebody following a religion, man's way, trying to make right with God? No. What the Word of God says, it will change your life. It will bring you into the supernatural, and it will change your entire outlook on life, and then it will give you eternal life. You will have eternal life now, and forever you will be with the Lord. If you want to do that, I want to ask you right now that you repeat this prayer after me with all your heart and say, Heavenly Father, I recognize I am a sinner. Don't be ashamed and don't be embarrassed. Say it with your voice. Why? Because you want the heaven to hear it. You want the earth to hear it, and you want the devil to hear it. Even on earth, the Bible says if we confess before men, so confess it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I recognize I am a sinner. I repent of all my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for my sins, and God the Father raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me. Save me. I recognize you as the only Lord, my Lord, and my Savior. I thank you, Lord. I am saved. I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let me tell you, this is the most important decision of your life. You've now become a child of God, and all of the things I just spoke about now belong to you. So I'm going to pray for you now, and I'm going to pray for the rest of you that are here. The moment that a church is an opportunity to be baptized, I want you to be baptized. You might say, you know, I was baptized as a little baby. You weren't in a state where you could make a decision, but now you've just made a decision. You should get baptized as an adult, as a declaration to the world that you're breaking with the world and that you identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you that have received Jesus, there is something else available to you, which is what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, that you shall receive power. And I want to pray for you that you might receive that power. What would happen on the day when the day of Pentecost was fully come? The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and it said they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to pray that you would receive this baptism of the Spirit. Now, you cannot reason it. You cannot think it through. It's your Spirit operating through. What you have to do is yield. So when I say to speak, I don't want you to just stand there and wait for something to happen. I want you to start speaking. The Spirit of God is going to make your tongue get twisted and you will be speaking something you've never heard. It'll sound like some language. It could be an earthly language, a heavenly language. I don't know. But you just let the Spirit of God touch you right now where you are. I want you to close your eyes, and the Bible says that if we are evil, know how to give good things to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So we're going to ask him. I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to say, receive the Holy Spirit. And then at that moment, you're going to open your mouth and you're going to start praising God, and new tongues are going to come out from your mouth. You're going to make a language you won't understand it. It says that people can't understand what they're saying. If you understand it, that's not the tongues that God gives you. It's only from the Spirit. So right now, I want you to say, Heavenly Father, this day, I want to receive that same gift that the apostles received when in the book of Acts, that the Spirit of God came upon them. I want the Spirit of God to come upon me. Baptize me now in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me now with fire. Baptize me now with your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Some of you already got it. Some of you already got it. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. And Father, I pray right now, every person that is watching, that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3. Now, 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 Rishikunomaya Takara Makalera, Rikonomai Kataramaya Sharomarele, Lekaramaya Tokoro Marekere, be filled with the Spirit of God right now. Rekanamana Yakoro, I break out every doubt, I break it off of you right now, I break off every skepticism in the name of Jesus, and I say, receive now, receive now, receive now. Go ahead and speak, speak, speak. Open your mouth now and start to speak. Remayesho. Toro le recarra marreco toro reshero le canamaya shuturu mayara le carra maya carra ya shokoro hakere maya toro. If you say, I never heard about this, when you get home, read the book of Acts. You see the apostles were filled chapter after chapter with the Spirit. So be filled now. Be filled with power. Be filled with the fire of God. I release it upon you now. Fire of God. Presence of God. Be baptized. Be baptized. Be baptized from your belly. It says from your belly. Put your hand in your belly. It says rivers of living water shall flow out. Father, let the river flow. Let the river of your Spirit flow. Be filled right now. You have to be in the Spirit. You have to be in the things of God. Just don't think about the natural things. Let them flow upon you. Hallelujah. I activate you now in receiving the baptism of the Spirit. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Keep going. Keep going. Flow, flow, flow. If it's happening now, let it flow. Let it flow out of your belly. Continue on. The Bible says you are speaking mysteries right now. You are speaking the perfect, you're doing the perfect will, the perfect prayer that God has for you right now. The Bible says they were magnifying God. They didn't know what they were saying, but others understood the language, said they're magnifying God. So continue on. You're actually building a spiritual atmosphere. Father, right now we build a spiritual atmosphere in every place that this is being watched, in every place right now. I declare Jesus Christ is Lord. I declare he has overcome every principality and every power and every work of the enemy. And I want you to repeat this with me right now, because I'm going to break curses off of your life. Things that you say, how come things never work out? If you see that there's been problems in your marriage, like for example, people that spontaneously abort their children, or that marriages continue to fail, or that there are tragic deaths continually, or an early death continually, or some kind of a compulsion, right now I'm going to pray for you, and just repeat after me and say, Heavenly Father, this day I pray that you would forgive me of all my sins, and that you would forgive even my ancestors of their sin, and any curse that has come upon my life because of them or myself, I renounce to them. I renounce to them in Jesus' name, and I go to the cross. I go to the covenant that I have with the Son of God and say, Lord, cleanse me right now. Deliver me right now. Say, Jesus, you became a curse that I might be free from every curse. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I enforce the victory of Jesus Christ upon the cross, upon every person that is under a curse, some demonic curse because of things they've done in their lives, because of witchcraft, because of occultism, Satanism, or any work of the enemy. Right now, I break off of your life every curse. At the count of three, I command every curse is broken. One, two, three, now, now, now. Premature death. There is a curse of premature death that is being broken off of you. You say, I saw my aunt, my uncle, I saw my father die, I saw my grandfather die early, and now it's your turn. Well, let me tell you, it's not your turn. You shall not die. You shall live, and you shall speak of the glory of the Lord. Father, I declare life right now. Women that are aborting their children spontaneously, in Jesus' name, I declare your child shall come to full term. I break that curse off of you now. People that cannot make money, every opportunity you lose money, I break off the curse of poverty from your life. And I declare from this day on that you prosper in the name of Jesus. I break off that curse right now. I break it off of your life. I break off a curse of blindness. Curse of blindness that people lose their sight and become blind. It comes off of you in Jesus' name. I command every spirit of death to come off in Jesus' name, and every demonic spirit that came associated with those curses, I command them go in the name of Jesus. Father, I release your power now, and I ask that your angels would go and deliver your people. Let them be ministering agents, Father, for those that are to inherit salvation. Let your angels come right now. I declare deliverance upon you from every evil work in Jesus' name. If you have any kind of sickness, if you have any pain, I want you to put your hand wherever it is that it hurts. And I'm going to pray right now for you. If it's something internal, just put your hand on your belly. If it's in your head, put your hand on your head. Wherever it is, I'm going to pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. We declare, Lord, that on the cross, Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. So we go now to the cross. And Father, we access, just as we have access salvation, just how we have access deliverance from curses. We access right now deliverance. Jesus overcame the devil, and I declare that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. We destroy right now every work of the devil in your life, every compulsive, sinful behavior. I bind that demon in the name of Jesus, and I command at the count of three, it comes out of you and leaves you free. One, two, three, now. Be free now. Be free. Be free. Be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Something is happening right now. People are getting delivered and are getting set free. I declare you are delivered. Endometriosis, be delivered from that in Jesus' name. The spirit of sickness, go in the name of Jesus. People that are deaf, in Jesus' name, I declare recovery of the hearing comes upon you. Every deaf spirit, go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, come out. Anybody who can't walk or you're in a wheelchair, I command stand up, rise up, and walk. Strength comes upon your legs. Strength comes upon your body in Jesus' name. People that have been through a stroke and you're partly paralyzed or that you've lost some memory, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray restore the memories. Restore the minds in Jesus' name. Restore the motion. I declare that that which was dead in your body comes to life now. Release the power of the resurrection comes to life, comes to life, comes to life in Jesus' name. Anybody watching in a coma or paralyzed, come to life in Jesus' name. I declare life, wake up in Jesus' name. I declare the power of the resurrection comes upon you now. Father, right now I take authority over every mental disease, mental condition. I command the spirit of depression to leave you. I command the spirit of fear to leave you. I command the spirit of doubt to leave you. I command spirits of unbelief to leave you now in Jesus' name. I declare right now, spirits of sickness, go. Diabetes, go. Problems in the stomach, go. Problems in the lungs, go. I command the spirit of asthma to let you go now. Now, now, now. Be healed from asthma. Be healed from high blood pressure. Be healed from low blood pressure. Be healed from heart condition right now. Atherosclerosis, be healed in Jesus' name. Problems in the nerves, be healed in Jesus' name. Problems in the back, herniated disc, in the neck, in the back, I command right now, let them be straightened. Scoliosis, your back straightened now in Jesus' name. All pain, go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Go ahead and by faith take an action. By faith do that which you couldn't do. Do what used to give you pain. If you couldn't raise your hand right now, I declare in the name of Jesus, lift your hand. I declare it healed. You work the miracle. How? If before you couldn't do this, you start to do this. And slowly you're going to see it's going to start to come up, come up, come up, and you'll be able to praise the Lord. Father, right now, I declare strength for those that are weakened in their body. I command right now every spirit of sickness, every spirit of COVID-19, I command it to loose the people. In the name of Jesus, if you are sick with this virus, I declare healing comes upon you now in Jesus' name. Be delivered now. Rise up now. I declare you can breathe. You can breathe. You can breathe. Father, and do creative miracles in the lungs. Even people that have had the virus and suffered damage, right now the damage goes away in Jesus' name. I declare you healed. I declare you delivered now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What do you need from God? Ask Him right now, believing and according to His will, and it shall be given to you. Father, I come in agreement with every need right now be supplied in Jesus' name. I declare God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. And even in this time of global pandemic, Father, I release financial blessing in Jesus' name. Right now, I break the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus, and I release financial blessing come upon your life in Jesus' name. Pastor Nash, the Spirit of God says that there's going to be a financial blessing that is going to come to you, that don't worry about lack or about the condition right now of the church. The Lord says, I have my hand on your church. I'm going to use you and I'm going to use the church. And even there's going to be healing coming out of the church and it'll touch many people around. You're going to be an example to many other people on how to move in the power of God. So don't worry about finances. God is with you. And Father, right now, I pray for family relationships. I pray right now, Father, that you bring restoration in the family. Turn the hearts of the children to the parents and from the parents to the children. Heal relationships between husbands and wives. And Father, be glorified. I release the peace of God. I speak to whatever storm is happening in your life. Even as Jesus spoke to the storm in the Sea of Galilee and he said, peace, be still. Now, I release the peace of God. I release it upon your life. I release it upon your house. I release it upon the atmosphere of your place of business. Wherever you go, I declare you are a carrier of the peace and of the presence of God. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for you have done miracles among your people. You have delivered your people. You have saved them from death. And you have brought them into life. So we give you all the glory. We declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And he is the Lord of all the earth. To him be the glory. To him be the honor. To him be the praise. And to him be the worship. Can you say amen to that? Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Nash. God bless you, church. And may the peace of God remain with you. In Jesus' name, amen.